presence, to the praises in your people's lives. Isaiah 54 will be our text today, our main text. Beginning with verse 1, the book of Isaiah is a book of transition. And God is prophesying over people, their future. People that have been in Babylon, that have been slavery and captivity from Babylon for 7 decades. And God says everything's changing. And the last chapter is really beginning with chapter 40 to 66. There is an escalating revelation of heavenly purpose. So it just gets better and better and better. Unbelievable. Till 66, the last chapters really are millennial prophecies and just unbelievable things. But when God speaks to people about what he's about to do, he gives them the opportunity to participate in that promise by faith. There is no higher expression of faith than praise. And when you can praise God for his promises, though you've not yet seen them, or praise God for the fulfillment of his purpose, though it's not yet been done, you've done the most you can do to cooperate with God. So God's ready to do something, and he's needing the cooperation of Israel. I just want to say to you, God's ready to break through into your world. God's ready to do some things. He's ready to fulfill his promise. He's ready to radically touch, heal, restore, save, deliver your family. He's ready to touch your body. He's ready to redeem his purpose. He's ready to fulfill your destiny. He's ready to release his promise. So he's ready to do some things, and he needs our engaged cooperation. And so he says this to people now. He's been talking to them for 14 chapters. In chapter 54, he says, "Help me help you." Okay? Yeah, thanks for getting it. "Help me help you." And he says this to Israel, to us, "Sing." There was something about music that is just the most remarkable thing. It is a transformational activity. It's where we engage our spirit, soul, our body. It's so unusual. We're able to express deep emotions. As Christians, we're able to express deep spiritual, heartfelt adoration of God. There's something to it. There's something dynamic in what God says to us. And God proceeds a season of divine, supernatural transformation. He proceeds that season when he baptizes his people in a spirit of praise. Sing. Now, who he's asking to sing? There are times we want to sing. We feel like singing with love and blessings and hearts. The radio is up. The praise, everything's going good. How many of you can remember those 30 seconds of your life when that would happen? Everything going good. Everything's just right. And there comes the spontaneous, but we can't say. But God's inviting the engagement of brokenhearted people to sing. Now we're getting somewhere. He says, it's time to sing your way into a new season. Sing, O barren, you that have not born. Break forth into singing. All of those layers of disappointment, all those boundaries, all those barriers between your song coming out, tear them down. If you can break loose on the inside, heaven can break loose on the outside. You can see your circumstance change when you can break through into praise with God. Break through into singing. It's an invitation. God says, "I'm ready to do something. And if you can just give me the environment that I work with best, I inhabit the praises of my people. If you can praise your way there, God's ready to create the world." God's speaking to Job. It is the most intense, probably instructional classroom that a person's ever had. And God speaks to him, and he said, "Were you there when I created the worlds, when I spoke the universe into being, when the sons of God worshiped while I created. And so on the day of creation, when the universe was formed, when the Big Bang, when what we know now was formed by the mouth and word of God, the Bible says, couched in that narrative, in that environment, was the worship of all the angels of heaven. They created the environment for creation. God says, if you can give me the right environment, I'm going to rock your world. If you can cooperate with me, I'm going to stop your barrenness. I'm going to break through every oppressive activity. Jesus is ready to be born. His family's in Bethlehem in a manger. Hotels are full. Inns are full. The shepherds on the hills watching their sheep. And suddenly, as they're minding their own business, the heavens are torn open. The barrier between this world and the spiritual world are just ripped apart. And they heard the host of heaven saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. They heard angels, and angels are serenading what? The birth of Christ in the earth. Christ was serenaded because the church was not yet formed. There was no earthly environment, so there was a heavenly engagement to create the atmospherics that were needed for the birth of Christ. And God says, in the last days, I'm going to do something so radical. If my church will enter into a praising spirit, if they'll put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, if they'll enter into a adoration and a worship, I'm going to change the environments of the world to the worship of my people. Worship changes the atmosphere. Worship changes the outcome. Worship changes everything. Sing, barren. Break forth in the singing. Cry aloud, you that have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Of course, this is great prophetic significance, both with Sarah, Hagar, with Israel, then redemptively to the church. God says, I'm going to give people that were on the outside, I'm going to birth something through them. People that have never seen, that have never fulfilled, that have never known the birthing of heavenly consequence. I'm going to do something in them so remarkable. I'm going to cause the barren to sing. I'm going to cause the devastated to be joyful. I'm going to turn things around. Enlarge the place of your tent. I'm going to sing you out of smallness. You're going to praise your way out of limitation. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right, to the left. Your descendants shall inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, you won't be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth and not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. God says, I'm going to turn it all around. If in the divine scales of God's omniscience, he looks at your life and says, you have this much pain, you have this much shame, I've weighed it, it's real, it's concrete, it's measurable, it's tangible. God says, I know you've been through that, but I'm going to give you something greater than that. I'm going to tip the scales in favor of my presence, my grace, my love, my restoration. It's all going to change. Your maker is your husband. Now he uses the most enduring of human relationships to declare his great intimate affection for us, his people. The Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He's called the God of the whole earth. God's called you like a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you're refused. A woman that marries into a marriage but is tossed away by a man. Not allowed to remarry. Her life promise destroyed by the fickleness, the uncertainty, the unfaithfulness of some person. God says, I'm going to destroy the barriers. I'm going to redeem your life and pull you up out of these things, these pits that life has brought you to. God says, get ready, I'm going to do it. There's something here, there's something so dynamic. And God says, I know it seems like a hard assignment, that when you most don't feel like it, to praise me. I know it seems like a difficult and a contradiction. It's not that I'm trying to torture you. It's not that I'm telling you that I'm avoiding or ignoring or somehow indifferent to your life suffering, but I want to get you out of it. And so if you can praise me with your heart still hurting, if you can praise me still feeling the disappointment, the disillusionment, the agony of unfulfilled destiny, if you can praise me then, you're going to birth something soon. I'm going to break you out of the limiting factors that your life's been defined by up to now. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make you sing. I'm going to make you sing. I'm going to give you a song that's unreasonable. I'm going to give you a praise that's unstoppable. I'm going to give you a heart of worship for me. And you're going to sing your way into a new season. You're going to praise your way into a new outcome. You're going to break through. He says this in verse 13, all of your children shall be taught by the Lord. And great God says, I want you to praise me and let me get at your kids. He says, the Babylonians would conquer like all ancient conquerors. They would split families apart, cause great hardship. God says, I'm going to get your kids back. I'm going to grow them in my kingdom. I'm going to put them where they should be before life detoured them. He says, and God says, if you can just keep praising me, I'm going to keep working for your kids. I'm going to teach them my ways. I'm going to restore their purpose. I'm going to fulfill their destiny. Just keep worshiping me. Just don't live in perpetual agony about what they're going through or been through. Just worship me. Let me add them. Open the door of praise in your family. If you can worship me when your family's acting crazy, I'll touch them and help them. If you can worship me when people are hurting and suffering, I'll go after them. God says, I'll bring them, all of your children. All of your children will be taught by God. God says, I'm going to go get them all back. Sing, O barren. Then he says in closing, verse 17, no weapon. No weapon. God says, if you praise me, I'm going to tear down those weapons. There are forces at work that you don't even know sometimes. There are demonic agencies. There are human engagements. There's a complexity, a intricate weave of meaning of why things happen. God says, it doesn't matter. I'll fix what's broken. Sing, O barren, because no weapon formed against you can prosper. You're going to worship your way out of the weapons of the enemy, out of the control, the influence, the domination of negative and hurtful things. Message Bible, sing, barren woman, you that have never had a baby, God's gonna do stuff you've never seen him do. God's given to us the amazing properties. I wanna encourage you. I think, is it this Saturday, Dr. McCray, your session? So one of the things announced was a life impact session this Saturday. Make sure that you're a part of it with Dr. McCray. It's a life changer because all the work you do on the inside affects who you'll be in the outside. And God loves it when people give him access to the real engagements of their life. And so with our souls and with our lives, remember this, spiritual warfare is never what's happening to you. It's always what's happening in you. And so God says, I'm going to help you look at life differently. I want to help you stop accepting an inferior quality of life. God's given the human soul this tremendous capacity. We can adapt to almost any kind of horrific, imperfect environment. God's given us that adaptableness, that adaptability. It's a gift from God. But never settle for less than God's best. Never let the temporary become permanent. Don't let a season that was supposed to be a night become a decade. Don't let an enduring season, weeping may endure for the night, but joy evicts it in the morning. And so God says, I'm going to help you raise the caliber of your expectations for your own life. Sing, barren woman, you that have never had a baby, fill the air with song. You that have never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than those childbearing women. God says, so clear lots of ground for your tents. Act like you believe God's going to do what he said he would do. Praise thanks God for what he's not even done. Praise thanks God for his promise. Your promise is enough for me. I believe by your promise, it's a done thing. So I thank you for healing me, because your promise is by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you that all my children will be. I prophesy all your children coming back to Christ. All your children will be taught by the Lord. They're coming home to the purpose they were created for. You're ending up with far more children than the childbearing women, says God. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out. Think big. What are the devastating consequences of people that endure long-lasting traumas and battles is a smallness of thought. And God says, I'm going to break through in your mind. And you're going to start thinking bigger. You're going to start engaging opportunity. You're going to let heaven create inside of you a divine perspective that creates a divine expectation that creates a divine outcome. I'm going to change your mind. Touch someone next to you and say, think big. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over nations. Okay. So God says, these people have been slaves, okay? So God says, let me help you. Here's how the thinking big works. Think in terms of nations. They're not even free. They're in the process. They're in a transformational season. Coming out of Babylon, God says, think in terms of taking over nations. You're almost with me. Think in terms of revival in all the world. Think in terms of whole cities being won to Christ. Think in terms of nations being transformed by sudden visitations from heaven. Think in terms of the radical shifting, the alignment of nations to the purpose of God. God makes nations for purpose, and God wants that purpose fulfilled in those nations through his kingdom. Think in terms of nations coming under the influence of Jesus Christ. You're going to take over nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Cities have redemptive purposes. I'm going to help you awaken the deadened purpose for the existence of places. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. Touch someone next to you and say, don't hold back. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Not going to be ashamed. You're going to forget all the nonsense. All the stuff that's tried to shape your future. It'll be like it was someone else's life. You'll have the memory, but not the trauma. God says, I'm going to bless you so big. I'm going to make your disappointments small. I'm going to bless you so powerful. I'm going to make your pain dissipate. I'm going to bless you so in such a restored fashion. For all your trouble, I'll give you double. I'm going to do things for you. Psalm 34. Or Psalm 30, let's begin there. And I will exalt you, Lord, for you've lifted me up. You've not let my enemies rejoice over me. I cried out to you. You healed me. You brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord. You, his saints, give thanks at the remembrance of his name. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for all of life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy evicts it in the morning. You, my God, verse 11, have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You put off my sackcloth and clothed me in the glad. I'm not just talking. See, it'd be one thing if I was just a preacher that had never done or experienced anything, but I've experienced depression, suicidal, manic depression. I know what it's like to be as low as you can go. At the very bottom of the scales of emotional pain, where I wrote a country album. Just saying. Not sure what that means. There's not a correlation necessarily. And I know what it's like for God to lift me up out of the pit. You've turned my mourning into dancing. You took off my sackcloth, my enduring grief, and clothed me with gladness, to the purpose that my glory may sing praise to you and might not be silent. Oh, Lord God, I will praise you forever and ever and ever and ever. I will praise you, God, all of my life on this earth and all of heaven beyond earth. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Sing your way there. Know the Lord. He is God. It is he that's made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter a new season with thanksgiving. Everything you thank God for, God gives you more of. Thanksgiving opens access to the heart of God. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to God. Praise his name, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting. 2 Samuel chapter 12, David loses a son born to an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. It ended up he murdered Bathsheba's wife, tried to cover up things. The child is dead after a week. David cried out and said, God, don't punish the baby for my sin. The baby died. It was prophetically declared by Samuel. So David, the Bible says, verse 20, after the bad news. Now listen to me. How you handle bad news determines how long it has a consequence in your life. You know what, man? David arose. I'm so glad. There are people today that you don't know their full story. There are people here today that gave the devil two black eyes just by getting up and going to church. With all kinds of stuff. Listen, if the devil's on a rampage, it means you're close to a heavenly breakthrough. I'm proud of you for making it to the house of God. David arose. He washed and anointed himself, washed off his ashes, took off his sackcloth, put on his cologne, and changed his clothes. There's so many things to learn from David. The way he responded to God was just so healthy. He messed up. You give people power, they will mess up. The more power you give them, the bigger they'll mess up. He wasn't just a president. I had the cutest conversation with my 6-year-old grandson, Max, yesterday. And so Max says, Poppy, can the president of the United States do anything? I said, he's not supposed to be able to, but yes, he can. He said, if I were president, would my picture be on a $100 bill? I said, it could happen. I love the curiosity of his heart, of his life. So open, so wondering about life. God loves it when we have that same way. David, look at me. David took off everything that season gave him. He took off his sackcloth. He washed off his ashes. He put on some cologne. He changed his attitude. When you change your attitude will change you. It'll point you in a direction. He did all of those things. And what I like the most is what he did next. And he went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. When you can worship God with a broken heart, you create an earthquake in the spirit. It's in your notes. David goes into Bathsheba, marries her, legitimizes it. She went from his mistress to his wife to have a baby. He names him Solomon. The prophet runs in. The same prophet that prophesied the death by judgment of the first baby runs in. I've got a word from God. God says this baby's name is Jedediah. Beloved of God. God loved that baby so much, gave him a pet name. Let me get this right. The same two people, hearts broken, because David worships into a different season. The prophetic word is, there's great heavenly affection for what you just birthed. You're going to praise your way into a new season. You're going to sing your way into. And when you can worship God, when you're disappointed by what life's done to you, you accelerate a heavenly outcome, a divine interruption. As the prophetess said last week, oh, get ready. Just a couple more verses, Hebrews 13, 5. Therefore, by him, Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, talking to Hebrews, talking about the imagery of animal sacrifice compared to verbal praise sacrifice. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. God, I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're about to do. There's a divine shift about to happen. I feel it. Please let heaven have some input into your interpretation of this moment in history. Don't get all your news from people that don't even know God, or people that form strange and foreign opinions from God, in the name of God. Thank you, God. So here's what I want to ask you to do today. We're going to close with some moments of worship, some praise, some real joy. Because I feel like the Lord says to you, he's breaking you free from barrenness. Every patriarch's wife, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, all three of them endured prolonged seasons of barrenness, which made them desperate for God. When they got desperate for God, they had a divine interruption, a supernatural outcome, and they gave birth. God's ready to do something in a church that is not yet fulfilled the measure of her potential. But don't worry, we're going to get there. We're going to praise our way there. We're going to sing our way into a new season with God. Thank you, God. We love you. Worship. So here's what I want to do. Anybody here that says, Pastor, I'm ready today to praise my way into a different outcome. I feel the limiting factors of a season of lack, season of barrenness, ready to leave me. In fact, let's just all stand to our feet. And I'm going to invite people down front. We're going to just have a praise breakout here. So don't come down unless you want to praise a little bit, because we're going to have some jumping around, shouting, going for it here. Praise, okay? Because something's ready to happen. Something's ready to break loose. Something's about to be released. God, we thank you. Come on, come on. Lift your hands to heaven. God, we thank you, praise you, love you, adore you. We celebrate you for who you are and what you've done. We give you the highest praise, the best praise. There's a group of frustrated entrepreneurs here today that I hear the Lord say, God wants you to praise your way into a new season. I want you to come down front if he's a pastor. Man, I've got all kinds of dreams that haven't happened yet. There's people here that have had in your family a lack of fulfilled destiny in your life or others' life. Just move up front, make room for everybody. We're just going to pack this altar with a bunch of radical breakthrough people that say, this is my moment. I'm claiming this is a season of breakthrough, a season of renewal, season of prophetic destiny. Come on, come on, come on. Get ready to squeeze in. Come on down closer so everybody can get here. Come on down. Just keep anybody. Something's about to change. Something's about to shift for you, in favor of you. Thank you, God. 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 Someone's going to have an inheritance breakthrough. Three people here with adult onset diabetes are going to be healed. If you let God, he's going to He's going to accelerate prophetic purpose in this moment. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Someone give God a praise. Someone give God a praise.
songs of freedom. I will sing the songs of joy. I will sing the songs of freedom. I will sing the songs. Everybody sing it out. I will sing the songs of freedom. I will sing the songs of joy. I will sing the songs of freedom. I will sing the songs.
Come on,
of joy.
Set free. Church. We're going to be known for that. We're going to be known for people with incurable physical conditions being touched by the heavenly atmospheric environment that is created by radical worshipers like you guys. The heavens are open and the best is yet to come. I command depression to leave this room. I command grief to leave this room. It goes, 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 it goes. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, hands to heaven. I want to ask BJ to sing this other song in whatever key he wants to. Our God is great and glorious. Our God reigns. And we're going to make some declarations. God can't do it until we say it. Listen, but heaven can't stop it if we sing it, if we praise it. Something's happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. Come on. Come on.
Our God is great and glorious. We put our trust in your name, Jesus.
able to say prophetically over some folks in the service that it's over. The storm is over. Storm is over. And I just declare over your life in this heightened moment of praise, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And every word spoken against you in judgment, God condemns by the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that while we're praising here, you're fighting there. While we're worshiping you here, you're working there for us in our world, our family, our job, our marriage, our future, our lives. Thank you, God. Whoa. Come on, come on, come on. Say it.